So what we're going to do now is we're going to summarize what we came out with, and then we'll move to the next topic. So we were saying, just another haysafon to what we ended up last week. So we're talking about dina de machusadina when it's negea binan la chavera. Like two halachas between you, between one yid and another, do they have to follow the binan la chavera? So we ended up saying is that for the most part, Poskim seem to say that not necessarily, and this is a specific hakpada, it's tells the malchus, but normally, halachas of Yerusha, things like that, this is a clear psak in the Torah. Some say the guideline is the psak in the Torah about it, that was the Shach. And the Rajba says as long as the Shach says if there's a psak in the Torah about it, then you go with the psak in the Torah, you don't go with the din of the Mahusa. The Rajba seems to say that as long as it's to Elis of the Medina, of the B'nai Medina, then you would have to follow it. So we ended up last week with a tshuva from Ramosha. So we said over from Ramosha, he talks about rent control. And he says there that even though maybe it's not so pasha dina de machusa dina, yes, no, he doesn't want to deal with it in the tshuva. But he says that dina de machusa dina at the very least would create a stam das. And the stam das of a person is that when he's going into a deal, he's going into it based on whatever the minhag medina is. And the minhag medina amongst everybody in this industry is to follow this, and therefore a person who's stam renting out a house, and you don't masne against the din of the machusa, the assumption would be that you go with the din of the machusa. So that Ramosha is saying that you said now is that the din of the machusa creates a stam das. So this is very important. Let's say you're in a business setting and you have a shutif, right? And where you have other clients, and there's a certain understanding in the industry how things work. How do you pay a lawyer? How do you pay this person? You know, how do you pay? Different understandings. Are you allowed to terminate? You're not allowed to terminate it. So, according to Ramosha, anything that you could make a tenai on that would work, it could be that whatever the law is would create at least a stam das for that particular industry. So, for example, there's a Gemara Baba Matzia. The Gemara Baba Matzia says that how do you know that the day starts at Shkia and ends at Netzachama and ends at Shkia? Because it says and they said that they worked from Netzachama till Shkia. So the Gemara learns from there that a stam poil, if you don't make a tenai and you just hire someone, they have to work from Netzachama till Shkia. That's what a stam das is by a person. That's the stam das. So l'chora, you hire someone, you hire a worker, and then you didn't make up anything. You just, you know, regular working hours, whatever. And then the guy shows up 9 o'clock. What do you mean 9 o'clock? Nate's was 6:40 today. Where were you? So it's a mefurisha gemara. That's another mefurisha gemara. You know how you have a poil supposed to daven. So what do you mean? It's a mefurisha gemara. You have to come, show up by the Netzachama, and you'll stay here in the winter. You get a shorter day, but in the summer you're going to stay here till late. So what's the teretz? The teretz is you can make a tenai like that. You can make a tenai with your worker and say we're not following what it says there. We're going to follow a different schedule. Right. So therefore, the stam das created by the minhag medina that is going to create a stam das. It's like a tenai. So b'chiya gavna dina d'machusa would be the same thing. That anything which is the legal under parameters of that particular industry would be enough for a din of the machusa. Now the reason it doesn't help by Yerusha is because first of all, who says a stam das on that? And second of all, a tanai wouldn't even help necessarily. You have to get involved in the whole sugya. How do you make a tanai? So therefore, even a tanai wouldn't help. So therefore, the stam das doesn't help. But anything that theoretically you can make a simple tanai on, so just taking out of that Ramosha is very important, is that the legal understanding of a certain industry would create at least a stam das. Okay, so let's just end off with that because that's an umbrella type of svar. Okay, so now we're going to go on to the next thing, which is till now we were talking about how does the law of the land affect the way you deal with your neighbor, or with your shutif, or with anybody else. Now we're going to talk about what the relationship is between the people and the government itself, and the melech himself. Okay, so the melech obviously makes laws about how to treat the malchus. And the shalos, do you have to follow that? He's a guy. And normally there's certain halachas about how you have to, you know, treat a guy. The question is, now he's a melech, how do we treat him? So the most prevalent and negeya nafkamina of this, lemaisa, is paying taxes. How does a person deal with paying taxes? Do you have to... Enough said. Yeah. So it's really a sugya in Baba Kama, and it's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch about this. Okay, now, just before we start, we're going to learn the Gemara inside because it's a little complicated. Back then, to understand the Gemara well, okay, and really learning the Gemara well is going to make a huge nafkamina in how we come at La Halacha L'maisa. Mamash, how you learn the Gemara, it seems like the Rishonim argue in the Ramah, there's a couple of Mahalchim in the Psak, is really based on how you come out in the Gemara. So we'll have to just understand it very well. So the Gemara talks about a moiches. Now, what a moiches is a tax collector. Now, there's two types of tax collectors. There's one type of tax collector that the government places a certain tax on the people, and the king hires someone to go represent him and pick up the taxes, collect the taxes from the people. That was the only way to do it. Go door to door and make sure that. And if you don't pay your tax that day, the guy's going to take your shirt, the guy's going to take your horse, the guy's going to take your property, and that's it. He collects the taxes. So that's one type of tax collector. There's another type of tax collector. There was a guy, someone that had a lot of money, would go to the king and say, listen, what's your prospective tax revenue from this particular district? So I think I'll make, a million zuzim this year from this district. Okay. So he'll go to the king and he'll say, listen, I'll pay you $750,000
guaranteed
up front, and now I'll take on the responsibility to collect the tax myself. So I'll pay up front the whole value of the taxes, and now he bought the right to collect the taxes from the king. That was a different type of moiches. So it's also a moiches. He's also collecting the tax, but now the tax, basically the king was makna to him the right to collect the taxes. Okay? Now, what's the shaila the Gemara deals with? The shaila that this Gemara is going to deal with is that something that this moiches could be a Jew. The king is a guy, but the moiches is a Jew. Now all of a sudden the moiches comes up to you. You know, it's now, a week after April 15th, and he just did his dirty work. He collected all the taxes, and he's going to come over to you now and say, by the way, I heard you need a new car. I happen to have a new car in my driveway. You want it? I can sell it to you. So you're thinking to yourself, where did this guy just get his new car from? He just collected it from the guy that didn't pay his taxes, right? So the question is that considered a stolen car? He collected the car, and whatever he has, what this moiches collected and the right to collect, is that called gzela? Would that be considered gzela because he went ahead to a friend of his, to another neighbor, another Jew, he collected the property for the right to collect the taxes, is it considered gzela or not? That's the noise over here in the sugya, is the money of a moiches that he collects through the right, through the tax revenue, is that considered gzela? Okay? Now, the Gemara says like this in the Mishnah, it says, "Ein partin loy mitevas amoichsin v'loy mikishal gabon." What that means is that don't collect change from the table of a moiches. As if you have a moiches who has a lot of change and you want to go to him, don't go to his table to get change. Why? Because you assume that his money is stolen. So since he has stolen money, don't get anywhere near him. Don't do business with this guy. This moiches, this tax collector, probably has stolen goods. So now you look in the Gemara, and the Gemara, umuchsin. The second line of the Gemara, the second word in umuchsin. So it says you're not allowed to take the money from the moiches. You assume he's a ganef. So the Gemara asks Akasha, the Amar Shmuel, dina demachus adina. What do you mean? Why is it considered gzela? What the tax collector collected, not gzela. The people are mechuyev to pay this because it's taxes. And dina demachus adina says that they're mechuyev to pay it. So he just did. He went ahead and collected the taxes. Okay. So what's going on? Why would this be a dinah demo? Why would this be considered gzela? So the Gemara says two tirutzim. Amar Rav Chanina bar Kahana, Amar Shmuel. Two tirutzim on this. One is b'moiches she'ein le'kitzva. This moiches is not doing what the. He's not just collecting the. He paid the $750,000. He bought off the king, and now he's going up and making up new tax rates, making up new laws, and he's collecting stuff that the king never authorized. So that's taka gzela. He's doing his own thing. He got the king out of the picture, and now he's not even collecting the tax that the king authorized. He's doing ein lekitzva. He's doing things way beyond what the king authorized. That's the first teretz. So that's taka gzela, if he does that. And Rabbi Yanai Amri b'moiches ha'imin me'elav. He never made a deal with the king. He's just collecting the taxes, and he figured, listen, I'll go do a service to the king. He never authorized me to do it, but I'll go collect all the taxes, and then I'll speak to the king afterward the fact, and then we'll make some sort of deal. Yeah. So this guy never got authority from the king to collect the taxes. He's considered a ganav. He has no right to go ahead and collect the taxes from the people. Okay.
Wouldn't the first case be even if the king said in Kitzma? Even if the king directed him, go collect whatever you want?
King's a goy anyway.
We're not talking about that. You want to know if it's true? It could be it's true, but that's not what we're discussing here. If the king makes an unfair tax, they talk about that.
Not necessarily unfair. Each person
gets
non-set.
What does that mean?
Each person, he walks by, he makes an assessment. How rich you are, how much he thinks you should pay.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, but if it's reasonable,
but it's not set.
I don't know. It could be the king has the right to do that. No, the Gemara's talking about the Moiches.
Right, the Moiches has
the Moiches can't do that, but maybe the king could.
Maybe the king could,
yeah.
If it's established.
That means, that doesn't mean a set amount is going to be presented. The ratio also.
Right, ratio is for sure good. Okay, that the place can all say. Is that even if the ratio is more for people making more money, that makes sense. There's a shot to that. Therefore, okay. The Gemara gives two other cases that you find some sort of stira about this inyan of the Moiches. Okay, let's skip down. Let's skip the next case and go down to the third case, which is Ika Demasni Laha. The second, we'll skip down a couple lines. Ika Demasni Laha, where it's underlined. Noijin Laharogin Ulacharamin Ulamoichs and Shishal Truma, Shishal Besamelech, Ava Bisha'ena Shal Truma, Vaina Shal Besamelech. What's the case? A Moiches comes to you and says, you have a beautiful warehouse there of flour, of Geshmak, of food. I'm collecting it for the taxes. So he says, one minute, it's already Truma. Now, this is a Moiches Yisrael. It's Truma. I'll make you a neder. I'm making a neder that's truma. And now you got this guy off your case. He's not going to collect truma because he has no purpose in collecting the truma. So he's going to go on to the next guy and collect double from the next guy. But that's beside the point. As far as you're concerned, you got him off your case. So says the Gemara, why are you allowed to do that? Right? Dina de mechuzadina. You have to pay him the taxes. In fact, the Gemara, so again, the same two tirutzim. We're talking about a guy. Okay, two tirutzim like we said before. Now the Gemara throws in a third teretz. Okay, now to understand this third teretz, it's a whole hamshach in the Gemara. So we mocked him now what the Gemara is going to end up saying. Okay, and this is the idea that's kedai to know for in Bichlal, is that the Gemara says that the Gemara makes a distinction in two different cases. This is halacha that gzeilas akum is also just the same way you're not allowed to steal from a yid, you're not allowed to steal from a goy. Gzeilas akum is also min haTorah. Okay, so there's no excuse to go ahead and do gzeila from a goy. However, the Gemara says that hafkas halva asoy is mutter. In other words, if a person owes money to a goy, a debt, he does not have to pay it back. That's not considered outright gzeila. Outright gzeila is going and taking something from a guy that you're not allowed to do. But hafkas halva, which is that you're just refraining from paying him back what's owed to him, that the Gemara says hafkas halva by a guy is mutter, and the Gemara has a riot to it from a pasuk, that hafkas halva from a guy is mutter. It's not the same gzeila like outright gzeila, and therefore it's mutter.
Why?
It's a pasuk. The Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. That, what's the pasuk? It's the end of the Gemara here. But that's what the Gemara says, is that hafkas halva by a goy is mutter. I mean, even though gzeila is asur, but not paying back a choiv is mutter. Not paying money that you owe is mutter. Now, by the way, that does not mean, let's say you go to a store, and then you take out an appliance from the store. Oh, now I owe money. Oh, owing money, I don't have to pay, because hafkas halva is mutter. Going in and taking something that he charges you for, and then not paying him, that was gzeil on the item that you took. That's for sure. That's poshut. But so you can't go in and take the item, and then say, oh, I just owe you money now. Memela hafkas halva is mutter. No, it doesn't work like that. Hafkas halva is when the only way that the only thing you generated some sort of chayv, and now your question is, do you have to pay that chayv? So it's hafkas halva is mutter. What?
Not paying your mortgage.
Right. I mean, because they lent you money, correct.
You can use the same tool to basically say,
they're usually judged.
The longer he's in town, he's collecting his own money.
After 3 years.
Okay. Well, yeah. So.
That's the second mortgage review. Versus the initial mortgage
house? No, because the initial mortgage, they didn't sell you the house. They just lent you money straight up.
It's not a mortgage company. It's what they do for a shop.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, the Gemara says, yeah, the Gemara says, the Gemara says, that it's also.
You don't have to pay it, they're going to take your house.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to pay it on.
They put a lien on it. Don't worry. You can't sell.
Yeah, so b'makom di'ika chil Hashem about the tzasim, but of course hava l'maisa is mutter. So now the Gemara says like this. Based on that, the Gemara gives a third teretz to explain why sometimes you find that you have to pay the moiches and sometimes you find you don't have to pay the moiches. On one hand, you have to pay the moiches because dina d'mochos adina. On the other hand, you don't have to pay him because these Gemaras seem to say you don't have to pay him. So the Gemara says b'moiches kenaini. Why? Because the Gemara ends up saying on the next page, because that's called Hafkas Halva. Okay? So, B'moiches Knaini means that the guy who bought this right to collect the taxes was a guy, and therefore, not paying him the tax is Hafkas Halva. It's not Gneva.
If it was a yid, it'd be different.
If it would be a yid, it'll be different, because a yid, you have to pay back your chayv to the yid. Now, Kipshuta, you read this Gemara.
The king's a guy.
What?
But the original, the king is a guy.
Okay, so here's the question, here's the issue. But Kipshuta, the way you read the Gemara.
The king got paid already.
Oh, exactly. So, right. Kipshuta, the way you read the Gemara is... The simple reading of the Gemara is like this. What are we talking about? We're talking about that the guy went ahead and he paid the king already. The way we simply understand that is, you could really think about it two ways, how that works. You could either look at it like he just did a deal and he paid the guy,
the king,
and he bought the right to collect the taxes, or maybe what he did is he prepaid the tax for everybody, and now he's going to collect the choiv that he already paid your tax for you. So the Gemara Kipshuta is saying that what the Moiches did is he prepaid the tax for you to the king, and now he's coming to you to collect the money he laid out on your behalf already. Right? So therefore, what? Why do you do that? Because he only paid the guy 80%. He went to the king and he said, I'm going to pay you.
That's collections 101, guys.
Yeah.
He's got to send collections. He's got to pay for that.
What? 750. Yeah, now he's going to go to the guy and say, listen,
so
I already... Right, we're saying he's not a ganav. So now he's collecting the tax, and now it's hafkas halva, not to pay him back. So the Gemara says,
the whole thing, or just that percentage that he laid out?
Well, he's going to tell you, as far as you're concerned, he laid out the whole thing for you. He also took a loss, because maybe the other guy's not going to pay. So there's, you know, as far as...
He's a businessman, he's not doing you a favor.
Right.
So
he takes the risk.
He takes the risk. So as far as he's concerned, he laid out the full choy for you. So lemaisa, that means, all the Gemara is saying, according to this, is, avada, a person, you have to pay the... If you're talking about the king, you have to pay the tax to the king. If a yid bought it, you have to pay to the yid that bought it. If a guy bought it, then it's like he laid out the money. He prepaid the tax. So now he comes to you to collect the tax. You're allowed to dray out from that. You're allowed to, you can dray out of it. Because it's hafkas halva. As long as I can, as long as...
No,
can
Hashem.
Make,
what?
Says no,
it's
Oh, you want to know that this third teretz is going on that Gemara of Noidrin La'arogin. Yeah, but it says two things. It says, Oishu Hishal Beis HaMelech, meaning you tell the guy, I'm making an edit, that this doesn't belong to me, it belongs to the king, whatever. So I guess that's the... like that or Kimta, that would help.
So you can lie to get out of the loan.
So you can lie, you what?
You can lie and make an edit to get out of the guy's loan.
So like this third teretz, that's what we're saying.
You can get out of it, we said, but give him
up. Right, meaning... going to help you anything.
Well, he's going to believe you. He's going to trust you. Now, Lemaisa, the first two teruts make a lot of sense, because we're talking about a guy who has no right to it. He's Oymen Me'elav, or he's in Lekitzvah. But the third teretz is talking very interesting. So who cares that the guy is a Moiches Knaini, but he has a right to it. So Hafkas Halva, I'm allowed to make an edit to do Hafkas Halva? So he's asking. It's a good kasha.
Why not?
What Shaykh is? Why am I allowed to? He's owed the money. So why am I allowed to make a nether now to get out of it?
Because it's not the nether's not a real nether. The whole point is that this nether is a fake nether. And you're not allowed to make a... How do we know it's a fake nether?
No, you're not allowed to lie for that. Bishlam, you don't own the money because he's Oymen Me'elav, there's no Dina D'Machus on it, whatever. But we're going out, there is Dina D'Machus.
If I owe a guy money and the guy comes over and says, you owe me $100, and I say, he thinks, I think you owe me $100. I can say, no, I don't.
What do you think? We're not saying that. We're saying you do.
Okay, but let's say I owe the guy $100. He comes over to me and says, I think you owe me $100. Is it true? And if I say no, he's going to walk away, Shalom Al Yisrael. Am I allowed to say no, I don't?
I don't know. I would have thought not.
Why are you allowed to lie?
Sure.
I'm not forgetting it. That's his question.
I'm not worried about that.
That's his question. What do we forget? You're not addressing his question. That was his question.
I'll go to Gehenna for that, but I want my money. I'm not a Gazan for keeping my money.
No, but the Mishnah is saying Noidrin Laharogin. That Mishnah is a Masechtas Nedarim, not a Masechtas Balakama. Lemaisa. No, in the other two Tirutim,
You don't have to pay it back. Why are you worried about Shekhar?
What?
If
you don't have to pay back the money, why are you worried about
sheker? No, because it's different in you. In the sheker, you're never allowed to lie. Lying is a different thing. It's not geneva if you don't pay it back.
I mean, I was saying you can even buy it.
Okay, it's a good cash.
I do owe you the money, but I'm not going to pay it.
Right, that you could say. Okay, he's asking a good kasha that Mitzvah Hashem I have to get back to. Because the first two truths are good, and this teretz also works for the other case. But over here, who cares if he's really owed the money and it's not gazela? So who cares, Maisa? It's a very good shaila that he's asking. We have to get back to that kasha. Okay, bottom line is the way we're learning the Gemara right now. Okay? The bottom line is that the way we're learning the Gemara right now, it comes out that avada, a person has to pay taxes, and it will be gezela. It will be kipshuta if you're dealing with the king himself. It could be his gezela to pay taxes. This that the Gemara calls it hafkas halva is only legabi the moiches. Legabi the moiches that laid out the money for you. There, you don't have to pay him because it's hafkas halva. The thing is that a lot of people go around saying, it's very common that you hear people saying, oh, not paying taxes, oh, that's only hafkas halva. There's no Gemara about that. The Gemara's not talking about that. The Gemara's not talking about not paying the taxes to the king. The Gemara's talking about not paying the taxes to the moiches. And that the Gemara's calling hafkas halva, which makes a lot of sense.
Is that because Adam dealing the most, we removed it from dealing the most of Dina?
What?
You can't do that.
Oh, the question is, what about, well, let me just back up. What about the choyv to the king himself? The paying the taxes to the king himself. Is that hafkas halva? Or is that gazela?
How would that be halva?
Maybe it's halva because he made up that I owe him money.
What's halva?
Pay 20% of your income. Pay 30% of your income. Period. Pay property tax. So now, he made up a choyv that I owe him. So not paying that choyv. Is that also the Gemara saying is motor al tafkas halva? Or the Gemara is not talking about that. The Gemara is not discussing that. The Gemara is discussing paying the moiches. Paying the king, maybe yes, maybe not. It's not the sugya.
Man kmina, right. Though, I understand the moiches took over the rights from the king.
Right. So that's why it's a loan, only because he took it over.
What's that?
So that's something. Maybe it depends how you understand the moiches. If the loneliness of a moiches is that he prepaid for you, so then it's clear, of course, halva, he prepaid. Now I owe him the fact that he laid out money for me.
Right.
But if you say that the loneliness of a moiches is that he's bemokum the king.
He represents.
He just bought the rights to collect. But now he's collecting the chayv of the tax. So then, if that's the case, so if the Gemara is saying hafkas halva on that, then it would sound like it's hafkas halva on etzim chayv of the tax itself is only hafkas halva.
Yeah.
You hear the distinction?
Case.
You hear the tutsadim?
Yeah, but either way, he's finding a way that he becomes an agency to the Medina.
Well, the first way, he literally laid out money for you. If the second way,
he paid for you, and you owe him, it's like a loan.
If a person owes a goy money, and the goy sells that contract to a yid,
okay.
You have to pay the yid.
Oh. No, very good shaila. Okay, everyone hear this shaila? This is the Mardik shaila. The Vilna Goyen in this simon talks about this shaila. What happens if a guy lends you $100? Now, you could theoretically go to the guy, like you suggested, and say, I owe you the money, and I'm not paying. That's it. I'm not paying. I'm not paying. I'm not paying. Now, he goes ahead and sells that choyv to a yid. A yid, you have to pay. So, do you say that, Lamaisa, it's a yid, now I have to pay him? Or do you say, well, so what'd you buy? You bought a choyv that I could have drayed out of. So, Mamela, you have no more than the guy had. I could have drayed out of it to the guy, so I could dray out of it to you.
You still owed it.
So is this thing that hafkas avamot, is that a limitation in the actual chayv? Is that a limitation in the chayv that I don't have to pay it? Or it's a halacha, to him I don't have to pay, but if a yid comes in. Okay, so the Vilna Goyen brings that in to Mamish explain this shayla.
It also depends if it's a chil Hashem on that guy.
Right, okay, yeah. We're going the whole chil Hashem Indian, obviously.
Just like we're going
to. We're forgetting the gazelle, forgetting the chil Hashem. Everything's fine.
Now it's like this, okay? So this is a huge, this is very, very much, this is a big, big shayla in how to read the Shulchan Aruch, this exact question. Let's take what we have for sure and then the suffix, and we'll have to pick it out. What we know for sure is that if a yid buys the right to collect taxes, you have to pay. We know for sure that if a goy buys the right to
not for sure, because if he bought it from a king and the king didn't have to pay.
No, but the Gemara is saying it's usur. The Gemara says
Moiches Akum. It's Melech Yisrael.
We're talking about Moiches Akum, but Moiches Yisrael. The Gemara doesn't say that, Teretz.
It's Melech Yisrael also.
No, whatever it is, whatever this case is talking about, which is compared to all kings, the Gemara's whole Teretz is you don't have to pay because it's a Moiches Akum. If it's a Moiches Yisrael, you have to pay. That's one thing we know. We know another thing. If there's a Moiches Goy, we know that you don't have to pay. Hafkas halva. What we're not sure about is what if there's no moichas involved? You're dealing directly with the government and the melech, and the melech comes and collects the taxes. Can you say hafkas halva? Because you made up out of nowhere that I owe you 30% of my income. That's a choiv. I don't have to pay it. Or do you say no? That's not the case. The Gemara didn't say that hafkas halva in that case. And b'chi ay gavna would be gzela. Now the shaila is what would be the mechanics in that, because he just said he owes you money. But let's see the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so if you go to page 8 in the Shulchan Aruch, okay, page 8 is Halacha Vav. Okay, he's talking about all the cases that a moiches is considered a gazlan. So it says in Shulchan Aruch like this: B'med devar mamurim shehamoiches kilistim. When do we consider a moiches like a thief? B'zman shehamoiches goy. If the moiches is a guy, oy moicher ha'oymen me'elav, or if he's oymen me'elav, like the Gemara said, oy moiches ha'oymen machmas ha'melav v'ein l'kitzva. Ella l'keach mashiyir. So these are the three tirutim of the Gemara that he's considered. You know, he's considered a thief. Av a moiches shepaskol melach li'tol davar katzov. But a real moiches who collected the right. Okay, v'afilu tziva shi'isol yiten yoyser migoy mikomokum rikid davar katzov. Even if he has a different bracket for Jews, but right. It's still not considered dishonest. V'hem in moiches Yisrael ligvoysay lamelech, and he put in a moiches Yisrael. V'noida sh'adam zeneman, and this yid who's collecting the taxes is an honest guy. V'ena moisef kloma mashagaz hamelech, and he just collects the tax. This guy, his stuff is not considered gzeila. So, like our case, April 16th, all of a sudden this moiches shows up to you and says, oh, I have a beautiful car, you want to buy it? You're allowed to buy it. It's not considered theft. This that he took the car for the taxes is not considered misham didina de mochus adina. Not only that, if you don't pay the tax, oiver aloy sigzoil. It's geneva. Gzeila. Mipneshu goizel minas hamelech. Because you're stealing from the king. Bein shahaya melech Yisrael, bein shahaya melech goy. So this is, he was hemed a moiches. Means he just put in, he didn't even, this guy that we're talking about, hemed moiches. Means he's just collecting the taxes for the king. And the Shulchan Aruch says it's gzeila if you don't pay it. Then he says, v'chein, furthermore, misal kona hameches ma'amelech. Okay, if you bought the right for it, also hamavriach atzmoi hareze goizel Yisrael shekano. Then it's geneva from the yid. Skip the parentheses for a second. Avol and kano goy, but if a goy buys it, mutter mishum dave hafka salva deshari b'makom deleka chilul Hashem. Okay, before we get to the Ramah, so far it seems very clear what the Shulchan Aruch said, that hafka salva is only if there's a moiches goy that he bought the rights to the tax. But if the guy just put in someone to collect the tax, it's gzela from the king to take it. So here you have the Shulchan Aruch saying clearly that there's a distinction. Not paying the tax to the king is gzela, but not paying the tax to the moiches, that's only hafkas halva. Hafkas halva to a yid is a vada, so if the yid bought the right to the tax, it's like not paying a chayv that you owe to a yid, that's a vada gzela. But to a guy is mutter, but to the king himself, the Shulchan Aruch said leisigzo. Now the problem with that is going to be, now we'll see, I left out the Ramah. We'll have to see the Ramah next week. So far, if you're Sephardi, you're in trouble, but we'll have to see the Ramah next week. But the question that we have to leave off with just is, what's the lumdus in that? How does that make sense? Why is it gezela if to not pay back the king his taxes? Isn't it just hafkas halva? What did the king do? The king made up a new thing that everyone in the government country has to pay him 20% of their income, whatever. He made up a new chayv, and now you owe him that chayv. So why would it be hafkas halva? Why would it be gzela? Why isn't it hafkas halva? Is the question clear? Okay, so you're saying dina de machusa is stronger, is that the pshat is then you're going against the dina de machusa, and dina de machusa creates it that it's literally his. And not paying it is like holding back his thing. Okay, so that's one teretz. What's your teretz?
The king's providing services.
So you got
to
cover
okay.
that service.
So very good. So we'll see you next week. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says something like that.
Yeah, but once you say that, then the guy who bought it from him was just paying for the services that you
No, but the guy bought it from his family. He didn't provide you a service. That's a private thing. This guy doesn't provide you any service. So that's what I was mocked in. You go into a store. You go into a store and say, okay, I'm taking that appliance and I'm not going to pay you. That's not hafkas halva. You don't say, oh, now I have... after delivery, it's installed. Oh, can you please pay? Oh, of course, I'll va. I don't have to pay you. You don't say that. That's about the gzela. Okay? So therefore, you have a street that it says you got to pay a toll. And they don't. So now, if you don't want to have the chayv, don't go on the street. But now you're going on the street. You're going on the tonight. You're going to pay, and now you don't pay. You don't say tzavkal salva. Now you stole the right to go on the street in the first place. So mamela, some want to learn. Maybe that's pshat shulchan aruch. We'll see more next week about lemaisa. What does shulchan aruch mean that it's gzela? Okay. Now lemaisa, this is going to make a big nafkamina. Because it's only tzavkal salva. Could be that without, as long as lying, you know, is. And maybe lying, we have to get back to, is left out, could be, would be motor, mitzad the shayla of the taxes itself. If it's gzela, then gzela sahakum is also, no matter what. So that's why it's going to be big nafkamina to understand this properly.
I'm saying these days, when you're dealing over the phone and dealing with email, they don't know if you're a Jew or not Jew, so we're...